Good morning and welcome to Henderson's First Baptist Church radio broadcast from Henderson, Kentucky. My name is Chuck Henderson and I serve as the executive pastor here at First Baptist, where we strive to make disciples who are Bible-centered. We seek to proclaim the gospel and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission is to develop generations of God-glorifying disciples who, in turn, make disciples from the community to the continents. And whether that's in person at our church or over the radio waves, that is our goal. If you have any questions about God, salvation, or general information concerning the church, please connect with us through the internet at www.fbchenderson.org. That's www.fbchenderson.org. We would love to connect with you. But on behalf of the people at HFBC and our senior pastor, Sam Hinkson, we are so glad that you are joining us today. Here is our broadcast for today.
Forever you are faithful. Forever you are strong. Forever you are with us. Forever and ever. Forever you are with us. Forever you are strong. Forever you are with us. Forever and ever. Forever.
We continue as we sing praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you put your hands together as we clap together?
Of the risen Christ.
Church, thank you so much. Please be seated, and please enjoy this little video. It reminds us about Thanksgiving and why we celebrate.
Uncle Jeff, have you seen the last piece of pumpkin pie?
What did it look like?
Come on, you're like 50 years old. You should know how pie looks.
Jeff, 50? Oh, come on. Can you even count to 50?
Uncle Jeff, I got some questions for you.
Yes?
Why do we have turkey on Thanksgiving?
Because when cooked properly, every 4 or 5 years, it's delicious.
Okay, so then why would we have green bean casserole then?
Touché.
Why doesn't it have a whipped cream? But that's the pie.
Clearly it's not stopping you.
Why did Mom have a full plate of stuffing when she's on keto?
Because carbs are comforting.
Why can't I just lick my plate?
If I'm in charge of the dishes, I actually encourage that.
Why are there no unicorns in the Bible? Why am I not allowed to sit close to the TV? Why does water taste different in Nana's house?
Why isn't Grandpa allowed to have salt?
Why is gravy brown?
Why am I not allowed to touch the air freshener? Why does Cooper pick his nose so much? Why does Mom call me by my sister's name? Why do we plant all the time? Why can't I eat grass? Why can't I sit in Dad's chair? Why is Sunday school called Sunday school? Why do cows have four stomachs? Why do parents whisper when they get mad? Why do old people write in cursive? Why do babies have no teeth? Why is baseball so boring? Why do fish have no lungs? Why is Thanksgiving before Christmas? I know why.
You know why what?
I know why Thanksgiving comes right before Christmas.
Okay. Tell me. Why does Thanksgiving come right before Christmas?
Because it reminds us to be thankful that God sent us Jesus.
I never thought of that before. I like that. All right. Now, hit me with some of that whipped cream, girl.
Oh, that's good.
How do you know my face? I'm okay.
Okay.
I am okay, so this looks good.
What a good reminder that this Thanksgiving, we are so thankful to be able to gather with friends and family. But the main reason we gather is to thank the Lord for His goodness, His love that endures forever. As we continue in Psalm 136, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. For we as a church come together today to say thank you, Jesus. Would you stand as we sing?
Cross I cannot comprehend, the agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, perfect sacrifice I've been brought near. me you made your friend. Pointing out the riches of your glorious grace, your mercy and your kindness know no end. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you.
Father, thank you. Thank you that we could come before you to worship you. Worship guided by your Spirit and led by your Word. Father, I pray that this day we would continue our worship because it is just an overflow of what we have done all this week. And so, Father, now as we continue in our worship through our giving, Father, may you bless the offerings and tithes as we receive them. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated.
When this life of trials tests my faith, I set my hope on Jesus. When the questions come and doubts remain, I set my hope on Jesus. For the deepest wounds that time won't heal, there's a joy that runs still deeper. There's a truth that's more than all I feel. I set my hope on Jesus.
I set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set
set my hope on Jesus. Though I falter in this war with sin, I set my hope on Jesus. When I fail the fight and sink within, I set my hope on Jesus. Though the shame would ground me in its sea, and I dread the waves of justice, I will cast my life on Calvary. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. Though the world call me to leave my Lord, I set my hope on Jesus. Though it offer all its vain rewards, I set my hope on Jesus. Though this heart of mine is prone to stray, give me grace enough to finish, till I worship on that final day. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus.
Good morning, church family. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right there. If you're not familiar with the Bible, New Testament's kind of at the back. Luke chapter 19, and we'll read verses 1 through 10 this morning. Again, I want to say to you, thank you for being such a good church. This is a family to me in many ways, and I'm just so thankful to get to spend Thanksgiving with you, church family. We got to spend Thanksgiving with the rest of those folks, and they drive me crazy sometimes. Amen, right? I went home for Thanksgiving, and you ever go home for Thanksgiving and you talk about people you haven't seen or talked to in years? So I've been out of high school about 20 years now, which seems like eternity to me. Some of the young people are like, that's a long time. And then there are other people that are like, wow. That's like a blink of the eye, you know, 20 years. So 20 years ago, graduated. There were people that I went to high school with that I haven't seen since then. And so we got to talking about, well, what's so-and-so doing now? You ever do that? And sometimes you think about, well, what they were like in high school or in college. And you think, well, I bet he's in prison now. And then you look him up on Facebook. Sure enough, there he is. There's his mugshot, you know. Or I bet she probably still works at Taco Bell. Or I bet that he's like in charge of NASA by now. And wow, you know, a lot of times you're right on those things. But sometimes people surprise you. with how they turned out. You know, you saw them as like, oh, they'll never do anything. I ran into one of my friends a couple years ago, actually, and his name was Eric. And I knew Eric in college. So in college, Eric was like the epitome of like the party guy. You know, the guy that he was the life of the party, and he was good at it. And I worked with him at this bookstore in college, and I just remember thinking, there's no way Eric's ever going to come to faith, you know, and that was kind of my mentality. So not just Eric, but I went to a very secular university, and that was kind of how I saw a lot of folks. Well, a couple years later, or a couple years ago, I met Eric. So I hadn't seen him for 15, 20 years, and I saw him at a pastor's conference in Louisville. And so I saw him walking on the street. I'm like, Eric, what are you doing at a pastor's conference, Eric? You're supposed to be out, you know, hitting up the bars. What are you doing here? He said, man, I know what you're thinking, you know, because when you saw me, and he said this, I remember it, it's always stuck with me. He said, when you saw me in college, I was lost as last year's Easter eggs. And I just loved that line. And I said, well, what do you mean? So I guess you're a Christian now. So what happened? He said, man, somebody told me to pick up my Bible and read the book of Romans. And so as I read the book of Romans, it was like the Holy Spirit came and illuminated my heart and my mind for the first time to see that Jesus Christ is supreme. And as I stood there on the sidewalk with him, I was like, huh. So all the things that I teach and say and do, like, they actually work. I was just blown away. I was surprised by this person who I thought was really, to be honest, least likely to get into heaven. He's not only a Christian, but he's a pastor now, preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just love the power of the gospel. Now, in our passage today, we're going to meet somebody a lot like my friend Eric. He is someone who we would never say, I bet that guy's going to be a Christian. We would never say, I bet that guy's going to follow Jesus. But we'll be surprised at what Jesus can do when he just speaks into someone's heart. So Luke chapter 19, we'll read verse 1 through 10. So he, this is talking about Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He, Zacchaeus, was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Verse 4. So Zacchaeus, he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, to see Jesus. For Jesus was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they, the crowd, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be with a sinner, to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And then in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of all my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We're going to see three things in this passage today. The first thing we're going to talk about is Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. The second thing is Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. And the third thing we'll see is Zacchaeus began serving Jesus as a result of what Jesus had done for him. Would you pray with me as we ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand this and apply it to our hearts? So Spirit of God, we want to be like Eric. We want to be like this morning, having a heart that says, God, would you speak to me? There are people in this room that have felt far from you, God, and you've been speaking to them recently, and this morning a prayer for them is just keep speaking to them. Whatever they're going through, whatever doubts they have, Spirit of God, would you speak to them? There are some of us in this room this morning, we'd say, I've heard this 100 times. I know the song about this guy. I did the felt board about this story. God, would you speak to me? I've heard this a lot. I want you to speak to me afresh and anew. So God, you're able to do that. Illuminate our hearts to understand this passage. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen. The first part we'll do is in verse 1. Seeking Jesus. So if you've got one of these beautiful bulletins, Darren always does a good job making these bulletins. And the first one, and you kids, you have a little kid bulletin too. The first one, that blank right there, is seeking Jesus. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4 again to remind us. So Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. So Jericho, you guys have heard of Jericho. Remember Joshua? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. This is the same town. Jericho was near Jerusalem. It was several miles away from Jerusalem. And it says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. That seems to indicate that Jesus wasn't intending to stay in Jericho because he was on his way somewhere. He was on his way to Jerusalem. If you take time this afternoon to read through the rest of Luke, you'll see that Jesus has about a week of his life left when he's entering Jericho, when he's passing through. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to have the triumphal entry very soon after this. He's passing through. He has no intention of staying right there in Jericho. So he's passing through, and verse 2 says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Zacchaeus, his name in the original language, meant pure and innocent. Isn't that a great name for my child? Let's name him pure and innocent. Well, as we'll see in this passage, Zacchaeus was anything but pure and innocent. Maybe some of you have had the same situation with your children. Let's name her Lovely, and then she's like, ah, right? So Zacchaeus, his mom was like, that name did not work out. So he was the chief tax collector, okay? Many of you know tax collectors were looked down on in that society. They were kind of the bottom of the barrel type of people because they were wicked. Their job was to receive taxes. Zacchaeus was a Jewish person who taxed other Jewish people because he worked for Rome. And a lot of times what they would do is they would overcharge. They'd say, you owe Rome such an amount. Why don't you give us that amount? And then they add a little bit extra, and they put it in their pocket. And that's why they were so hated as tax collectors. They overcharged people. There's a phrase in the Bible that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. Like, tax collectors were just so notoriously evil, they were just lumped in with sinful people. There's a word in there that's a little bit strange there. He was the chief tax collector. So Jericho was one of the highways where taxes happened, and Jericho was kind of like maybe the place where a lot of those interactions happened, and Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. That was like, he's the most important tax collector. He's like, in a drug ring, he's the drug lord. He's the kingpin of this operation, of the tax industry in Jericho. He was well known, but he was well hated. So as we're looking at this guy and thinking, could he get saved? We're already thinking, there's no way. Think of how wicked he is. If that wasn't enough, though, look what else it says about Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was what? Rich. He was wealthy, and he had gained that wealth by cheating people, but he was wealthy. If you look probably on the same page of your Bible, if it's open, in Luke chapter 18, there's a verse where Jesus said, it's impossible for how difficult it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, because they're wealthy. They don't see their need for God. They see their bank account that says, I don't really need anything. All this God stuff, you can keep it. And Jesus said, it's very difficult. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And his disciples said to Jesus, well, who could be saved then? And he says, with man, that's impossible. But with God, It is possible, and that's what we're going to see. Jesus is going to do the impossible in this crooked, wealthy man named Zacchaeus' life. So Zacchaeus, it said that despite his wealth and his crooked lifestyle, in verse 3 it says that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now it's important to note, it does not say that Zacchaeus was hoping Jesus would do a miracle for him. It does not say that Zacchaeus just wanted Jesus to kind of come and bless his tax ministry. No, he wanted to know who Jesus was. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. And this is a huge surprise to us. Maybe you've heard this passage a lot of times. This should surprise you that Zacchaeus said, maybe there is something to this Jesus guy. Maybe there is something to this man who does eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners. And I think I want to pause there to help you to see you are surrounded by people who are seeking to see who Jesus is. Where you live, the houses closest to your house are filled with people who are seeking to see who Jesus is. Where you work, the guy that stands next to you all day or the lady that works in the booth next to you, they're seeking to see who Jesus is. When you go to school tomorrow, I'm sorry, you students, you've got to go back. The students sitting next to you and walking in the locker beside you, they're seeking to see who Jesus is. I want to give you some evidence of that just from this past year. As a church, you have done four things. I want to tell you about four ways that this is just proof people are seeking Jesus. Back in April, every year we do TriFest here in Henderson. It's a great thing. And as a church, you serve at a booth and you give out balloons and then you ask people for prayer requests. At our booth this year, 90 people who are just there for corn dogs and other fried things that are no good for them, wrote down prayer requests. 90 people wrote down prayer requests. Pray for this, pray for this. They're seeking Jesus. And 28 of those people, they said, man, would you send somebody to my house to share with me about your church? People are seeking Jesus. Last month, we started a new ministry called Henderson Hope for Kids. It's an after-school tutoring program where we bring in some students, and they live within half a mile. I could show you where they live, within half a mile of our church building. And they come in, and we help them with their homework. We feed them a meal. We play some games with them, but we're also sharing the gospel with them. In fact, we've got 8 kids that are coming, and in fact, the first week we did it, Pastor Sam, it was so fun to watch him up there with a bunch of kids that were no parents around, and he's sharing with them. He said, here's the gospel, and he said, God made everything, but sin messed everything up, and before he can get further, half the kids are like, what's sin? And these are kids that aren't in Africa or Asia. They're a half mile away from here that have never heard the word sin. But they didn't say, oh, we don't want to hear about that. They were eager and longing for it. And they said, that's amazing. Tell us more. They're people are seeking to see who Jesus is. Last month, we also did right out here the Fall Festival. You all went out and invited hundreds of people. And we saw hundreds of people who had never come to our church come and enjoy that event and spit pumpkin seeds all over the place and ride a pony. People are seeking Jesus, and many of those people responded and said, tell me more about your church. Tell me more about Jesus. I asked one of our office ladies this past week, how many people have visited our church? How many people have done what you're doing right now that have come and just sat in a church service or gone to a Sunday school class? How many new people? How many people have visited my church? I thought it'd be like a dozen, two dozen. 175 people have visited our church this year. That's amazing. That's a praise God. You are inviting people to come in. You are a welcoming place. But people are not just wanting to be welcome. People are wanting and seeking to see who Jesus is. We're surrounded by people who are seeking something real. Now Zacchaeus, he needed somebody to let him see who Jesus is, and we need to help people see who Jesus is because there's lots of obstacles. And we see some obstacles if we look back at verse 3. Zacchaeus, he was seeking to see who Jesus is, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. He was not tall, but the crowd was. And he's seeking to see Jesus as Jesus parades through the town of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. There's a crowd gathered around, and no one is letting Zacchaeus squeeze in. He's a shorter guy. He's a rich guy. You'd think surely someone would let in someone, but it's because of his wickedness. Everyone says, you don't get a chance to see Jesus. He didn't get to see the crowd or see Jesus because of the crowd. The crowd was too tall, but they were also closed to Zacchaeus getting to see the Messiah. They were angry at him. They didn't want him to have a chance to even get to see Jesus. So the whole town's angry at him. And now pay attention to what Zacchaeus does, because he's still seeking Jesus. Verse 4. So Zacchaeus, he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he, Jesus, was about to pass that way. This is a childlike behavior. This is, Jesus said that anyone that would want to come to the kingdom of God must come like a child. And that's what Zacchaeus does. He comes running. Running was undignified for men at that time. Men didn't run. He came running. He went and climbed a tree. That was very undignified for that time. It's a little similar today. You know, if you drive by my house this afternoon and you see my kids climbing in a tree, you'll think, oh, how sweet. If you see me climbing a tree, you're like, something wrong with that boy. Bless his heart. You know, men don't climb trees. Still, men didn't climb trees. And Zacchaeus says, I'm willing to look a fool because I think there's something important in who Jesus is. He's seeking Jesus. It says he climbed a sycamore tree. Now, in studying this, it's a different sycamore tree than what we call a sycamore tree here in America. The sycamore tree here is real big, tall. Sycamore tree that this is talking about is a sycamore fig tree. It was a tree that was wide, had lots of branches. It was a very leafy tree. It was a great climbing tree, okay? Zacchaeus picked that tree because it was up ahead. He kind of timed it. He said, Jesus will be about there. That tree's perfect. He went, he ran, he climbed it because he wanted to see Jesus. Many people think, as they look at that, he might have been trying to still hide behind the sycamore fig leaves, like Adam and Eve were trying to hide, but he's running ahead. This was a poor person tree, the sycamore figs. No one ate those except for the poorest people. It was a very bitter fruit. So this is how foolish Zacchaeus was looking. He's running, he's climbing in the poor people tree, because he wants to see Jesus. The crowd was likely mocking him. They had seen him run ahead. The up there in the tree thinking, you know, Zacchaeus thought he was so high and mighty. Look at him up there in that tree. But he doesn't care. He said, I want to get a glimpse of who Jesus is. So he's seeking Jesus. But the good news of this passage is Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. And that's what we see in verse 5. So kids, if you're writing in your notes, you can write Jesus seeking in that second blank there. So Jesus is seeking Zacchaeus. So there's that crowd, wouldn't let him squeeze in. Maybe they're saying he's finally getting what he deserves. All the money in the world couldn't buy him a couple inches of height. All the money in the world can't get him access to see the Messiah. Look at him up in that tree. But pay attention to what Jesus does. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry down and come down, for I must come to your house and stay at your house. Jesus looked up and he saw a lost child of God in need of grace. He didn't just see a wicked sinner. He didn't just see a rich guy. He saw a child of God in need of grace, a lost person. He said, Zacchaeus. Now, a question you might have is, how did Jesus know his name? He'd never met him before. Some people are split. Some people think, well, because he's sovereign. He knows all of our names. Amen. Perhaps, though, maybe Jesus also knew his name because the crowd is dragging Zacchaeus' name through the mud. Look at old Zacchaeus up in that tree. And Jesus hears that. He said, oh, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, hey. Come on down. Come on down. I'm going to go to your house. Come on, hurry, 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 come on, come on. Yeah, yeah, really, come. And for the first time in probably a long time, someone said Zacchaeus' name in a positive way. Isn't it good when in your prayer time, when God speaks his love to you and just reminds you, hey, don't worry about all that stuff, dear one, Jacob. You're dearly loved. It's a blessing when God says your name. He says, hurry, I must stay at your house today. Now, we read this and we're like, how rude. Jesus invites himself over for dinner. You ever do that? Hey, what are y'all doing this afternoon? What are you doing? What are you doing later? I'm coming over. Make sure you take care of me. But Jesus imposes himself on Zacchaeus. He says, I must do this because he knew he had come to save Zacchaeus. He knew he had come to Jericho that day. He said, I must be at your house because I've just chosen you to be part of my kingdom. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to go and clean his house up. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to clean his life up. He just said, I'm coming over. I'm coming in. And that's what God does. In the midst of we've sung about it this morning. In the midst of our sin, God says, I'm coming in. I'm sending my spirit. I'm saving you. I'm giving you new life. And this is the surprise that Jesus is seeking Zacchaeus. That should surprise us, that Jesus is seeking to save the lost people that are all around us. And so Jesus gave him a command. He said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. In verse 6, Zacchaeus hurries and comes down and receives him joyfully. He receives him joyfully because he realizes this guy really does care about me. He's not dragging me through the mud. He could have joined in and accused me and mocked me, but he did not. We read this and we think, of course Jesus did that. We know why he came. The crowd that day did not. I want you to see what the crowd did. Verse 7. The crowd, when they saw it, they all grumbled. I was reading about this, and one of the commentaries said they were like a bunch of humming bees. You can just see the bees over their head, like, what is he doing? Talking about they expect Jesus to join in their mocking. They expect Jesus, instead of looking up and saying, come on down, they expect him to say, you deserve this, Zacchaeus. You've trespassed my law. How dare you? I hope that tree gets struck by lightning. That's what the crowd's wanting. That's not what Jesus does. Instead, he turns and receives the anger of the crowd. He takes away the anger of the crowd that was all against Zacchaeus, and he puts it on himself. And the crowd grumbles, and they said, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Can you believe this guy? We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was wise. If he's wise, well, he ought to know who Zacchaeus is. He's a sinner. Or we thought he was good. We thought Jesus was holy. But if he's holy, he wouldn't get even close to Zacchaeus. What is he doing? In that day, Jesus said, I'm going to come into your house. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to eat with you. We're going to have a feast together. In that day, to eat with someone is to associate with that person, and much today too. You know, we associate with our families this week when we Thanksgiving together. We associate with them by eating with them, and that's what Jesus is saying. I'm all right to associate with Zacchaeus. And in the process of doing that, Jesus, in the crowd's mind, was becoming guilty by association. And what Luke wants us to see in this passage is that Jesus came to associate with sinners like Zacchaeus. Jesus came to associate with sinners like you and like me. That's why he came. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it. And I never really thought about it until I was studying this passage. Why did Zacchaeus come down from the tree? Why did he come down? Sure, there was an invitation for dinner. I think he hustled down because he's like, that's going to be good. I think if you think about it a little bit harder, a little bit longer, I think with Zacchaeus, why he came down was because Jesus took that anger of that crowd who hated him, and Jesus took it upon himself, and he said, there's something to this Jesus guy. He's not just like everyone else. Why would he do that for me? One writer, he says, the life-changing power that entered Zacchaeus' life was not Jesus' invitation to eat with him. Rather, it was Jesus' deliberate act of shifting the town's hostility away from Zacchaeus to himself. With his stripes, we are healed. So Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. We heard that Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, and then Zacchaeus' life was turned around so that he began serving Jesus. So kids, that's the last blank for you today, serving Jesus. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood at that dinner and said, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. So Zacchaeus received the costly love of Jesus, and it changed him to show costly love. He's saying, if Jesus was willing to love me at the cost of this entire city becoming angry at him, I think I can love that way as well. He said, half of my goods I'll give away to the poor, and then four times I'll pay back to anyone I have defrauded. Zacchaeus was good at numbers, but Jesus changed the way that Zacchaeus did his math. When Jesus saves us, he changes us. Zacchaeus says, I'm willing to get sunk over this. And it's almost like he's going overboard. He's like, you give away half your stuff? Well, you got to keep some for yourself. Oh, no, I'm going to pay back everyone that I offended. Well, how much? You're like, four times what I did. This would sink him. This would bankrupt Zacchaeus, and he no longer cares. Zacchaeus went from being like this with his money to this. Like, I don't need it. I thought that stuff was giving me purpose and reason for being alive, and I don't need it. I got all I need right here. It's Jesus. He went from saying, how much can I keep, to how much can I give away? He wasn't measured or precise because his measured of giving was Jesus and what Jesus had done. He finally understood the gospel, I think, is what happened. Zacchaeus, he grew up Jewish, so he knew all this truth, but he finally understood the gospel of the lavish love that God pours out on us. So Zacchaeus, he came as a child, and then look at verse 9. It says, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost in Jericho. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost who are working beside you, the lost who are going to school with you. Jesus came to seek them. He's seeking them through you. He puts you here because he's seeking people who live right beside you, who work right beside you. And Jesus will succeed in saving those people he is pursuing. That ought to give us a confidence as we live our lives for him. I hope that you have seen the gospel in this passage. Do you see what happened? Jesus took Zacchaeus' place. Everyone was angry at him. The entire town was mocking him. He looked foolish up there in that tree, and Jesus, he came to Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, come down, I must be with you today. Zacchaeus, come down because the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus, come down because the reason I've come is because there's another tree, there's a cross that I'm going to climb up, and people will mock me on that cross, but I'm going to stay. People will say, if he's really God, he'll come down. And Jesus will say, no, I'm going to stay up there so that you can come down from your trees, come down from your hiding from God. And at the cross, what Jesus does is he declares two things about you. He says, you're really this sinful. You're so sinful that you could never pay back God, that only the perfect Son of God, perfect, sinless, perfect Son of God, slain, bloodied, mangled, crushed for you was enough to pay for it. You're this sinful. But the cross also declares you're this loved. You're so loved that Jesus on the cross, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for the joy of you coming down and dining with him, for the joy of you feasting with him forever in heaven, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Jesus says, you're this loved. I want to end by just kind of rubbing this passage all over our hearts and our minds. I want to ask you three questions to kind of collide this with you today. I want you to ask you, first question, are you more like the crook, Zacchaeus, or are you more like the crowd? Are you more like Zacchaeus who realized he was a sinner and he needed grace, or are you more like the crowd who just grumble? Sometimes you ever get in a season where you just grumble about everything? I think this passage is here this morning to remind us we don't have a whole lot to grumble about in the grand scheme of things if we're in Christ. The crowd grumbled and tried to prevent people from coming to God. They grumbled, said, this guy could never get saved. They said, this guy's too evil. Are you grumbling like the crowd? Like, look at how wicked our world is. Maybe a good question for your heart this morning is, who's the least likely person to get into heaven today, right? Some of you are thinking of somebody you know. Some of you are thinking about people that live over in California and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. He has guaranteed he is saving the lost. So are you more like the crook or are you like the crowd? Do you have the audacity, the gumption to believe this? The second question that I'd like to ask you to kind of consider, are you looking up in the branches around you? Are you looking up to see who are the people around me that God is seeking? Who are the people that maybe they drive me a little crazy, but is Jesus seeking those people? Are you willing to look up and have the gumption to believe that God put you where you are because he's seeking and saving the lost? And maybe he wants you to invite him over. Or invite yourself over and say, I'm going to come over. Because God, I believe Jesus is seeking you. I imagine that Zacchaeus probably had a mother who prayed for him. Lord, I named him innocent and pure, but he's done anything but that. And maybe Zacchaeus, his heart was closed to his mom, but maybe she prayed, send somebody else. And maybe that's somebody like Zacchaeus is living close to you. You see them, and their mom's praying for them. God, you've got to save them. God, you've got to open their eyes. And maybe God in his sovereignty has says, you know what? I'm going to put so-and-so next to that person because I'm seeking them. And maybe God's answer to that mom's prayer is you. You being willing to say, hey, let's grab lunch. Hey, let's grab coffee. Hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm coming over. And it's through those interactions, through those relationships that God is seeking and saving the lost. The last question for you is, what is the shape of your hands regarding money? Okay, so Zacchaeus, before he met Jesus, he was like this, tight-fisted, but then he became like this. And I know money a lot of times can tell us where our heart is. What's the shape of your hands towards your money? What's the shape of your heart towards your money? Jesus changes the way we do our math, where we stop overcharging to overgiving. Jesus changes the color of our knuckles from being white knuckled about our money to saying, you know what, I trust you. This is a very generous church. I want to applaud you and affirm you in that church. We just surpassed $7 million as a church that you have given away to missions over the years. Last week, we had an emergency with one of our partners that live in Central Asia, and we said, we want to help them, and we passed the plates around, and y'all filled them up and said, we want to bless you all. You are a very generous people. I want to affirm you in that, but I also want to say, be careful. I want to also encourage you, some of you need to grow in your generosity, and the best way to do that is to just start doing so. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He doesn't say, where your heart is, you'll start giving. He says, if you want to love missions, start giving to it. If you want to love the poor, start giving to it. He says, your heart will follow your wallet. Your heart will follow your bank account. I'd like us to pray. We're going to sing a really good song, too. When we pray, if there's something you need to pray about, you can do that up here. You can do that where you are as well. This is the place where you can say, God, I want to love you like that. I want to trust you like that. I want to pray for somebody that you've been telling me I need to talk to. You can come in forward and do that. If you'd like to say, I've been hiding in the tree from Jesus. I've been pretending like I'm a Christian, trying to be good enough, and today I want to just make it public that I'm going to follow Jesus. You can come forward and do that. I'll be standing down here. You can do that. You can do that in your pew and just talk to the person next to you after the service as well, or there's a number that you can text in on your bulletin. Don't miss the opportunity. Jesus Christ, the King who will one day judge all people based on one question, what did you do with Jesus? He will come and judge each one of you. He's going to judge you. You're one day closer to that. He's come near to you today in grace and said, come down. Come and receive my grace. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, you are the King. You are the Messiah. Some of us today were convicted, and we shouldn't be because there's grace. Some of us were convicted, and we should be because we're outside of your grace. So Jesus, for those who are wondering about what it would look like to follow you, give them the faith and the courage to say, I want to give you my life, Jesus. Some of us, we've cared more about money than the poor. Some of us, we've cared more about our own kingdom than yours. Forgive us, Lord, as we respond and sing of your deep love. Lord, be glorified in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
Church, let's stand and respond.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Amen. Well, folks, there's no service tonight and kind of an opportunity to give you more chance to thanksgiving yourselves up. Some of y'all need some more. Some of y'all, maybe not. I don't know. But God bless you as you leave this place. Go knowing that Jesus Christ has given you everything you need for life and godliness, and Jesus Christ sends you out in His name. God bless you.
The preceding broadcast is a ministry and property of HFBC. Please feel free to share it with anyone, but please do not change, alter, or charge for it. If you have any questions about anything, please submit them by going to our website at www.fbchenderson.org and then click on the I'm New link on the homepage. And please join us next week right here on WSON as we continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe, people, and nation. May God's blessings be upon you from Henderson's First Baptist Church.